Welcome to Two Peas in a Podcast.
Thank you, Michelle.
A show about passion, gardening, the philosophy of gardening, and why we garden.
I don't say that's highfalutin. I see it more as nature, as I was telling you earlier. I think you've got to go back to the age of the dinosaurs when large leaves were falling on the ground, and these large animals were dropping dollops of manure of similar size on top of those leaves. And so the ground built up in fertility and little creatures came out of the ground and lived in this undergrowth and birds came down and fed on it. I think my interest lies there now. I lie in not just the plants and the eating of them, but also the creatures that come along to your garden to visit the birds.
So creating your own. So as you can tell, Trevor is definitely the more experienced of the two of us, but I don't want you to think that he was around at the time of the dinosaurs. He was not. And I am definitely more of a novice gardener who has learnt much, much, much from Trevor. And I'm afraid my gardening experience lies more in a passion, and sadly my enthusiasm does not always equate to success, but that's okay. So how come you got into gardening then, Zoe?
Well, I was 7 years old.
I was but a wee boy.
Yeah. And my pop owned a place at Flinders Park, and I was asked to get out of the place because he was a grumpy old fellow, and I was told to dig over the carrot bed. So at 7 years old, I dug over this carrot bed, but lo and behold, out came a spider. In fact, it was a trapdoor spider, and it came out with its nippers biting at me. And as a seven-year-old, I got back from that. I thought, God, what's this? And I never did any more turning over. I just then poked the spider with a stick and watched its jaws grabbing at me. So right from the start, I always really saw it as an investigation of nature rather than trying to reduce things, because I think that is the fun part. You know, the producing of stuff is bound to be a failure. If you plant carrots, I can guarantee you'll have failures, you know. Or if you plant cabbages with a view in your mind to eating all these cabbages, you're going to have failures and disappointment. But if you go out there in the garden and you just think of it in terms of part of nature, well, then you'll have a great time. I've seen mantis nests that I never expected to see. Big, white, cobwebby things hanging off there. And just to think of how many mantis would come out and inhabit my garden, I found pretty fascinating. You see, and my wife, Nita, she's fascinated by birds. And so are most people. You talk to gardeners and they almost always go off topic as to what's in their garden, and it's alive, and it's sort of like pets too. You know, you can have chooks. I know you've got four or five chooks in your garden, and they're as successful as your garden. Really,
well, they're probably as more successful than my garden, and I love my chooks. I suppose, yeah, I didn't really ever think of gardening in that aspect of it, because I always think of the producing and the making, or in my case, the lack of producing of stuff. But I have a theory about my chickens that I love, because I think they're fantastic for the garden and I love the eggs, but I'm pretty sure that they watch me garden and then at the first opportunity of getting out, go and scratch up whatever I've done. But I think it's really interesting when you talk about your grandfather's what got you into it, because that's sort of a little bit why I got into it, coming from a European family. And my opa had a big garden, so they had this big backyard in the suburbs, in the good old burbs, and half of it was garden and chooks. And we were, you know, it was this great excitement if you were allowed to go out there and help opa in the garden. And he used to grow things like witloff and endive and all that, and kale, all the trendy stuff now. But let me tell you, 40 years ago, it was not trendy. But we just wanted to hang out with him. And then my mum was an avid gardener, and she is such a green thumb. So I read somewhere that, you know, a gardening or any skill skips a generation. However, I think in my case, it's really skipped me. And I can live in hope that my young ones are better at it. But yeah, I really like that idea because it's true, isn't it? Once you see something, like when I see worms, if I dig over the garden and I see worms, I am literally like looking around with like, this is so fantastic, who can I share this with? Which pretty much really nobody, because it's only, and that's where I talk about the passion. Fellow gardeners get excited over all those little things that people who aren't into gardening just don't get.
I think it is much more long-lived. If you look at those two boys, Theo and Toby, who come to the garden, they automatically go towards the chooks because they got chooks at home too. And so it is the things that are alive in the garden that are the interest in the garden, I think. And don't forget that's everything, because the other experiment you can do to get yourself interested in this is get a 70mm 3-inch plastic pot, fill it with seed raising mix and put 3 pea seeds in there and put it on a windowsill where the sun comes in and keep it damp, because in this time of year, which is winter, in 2 or 3 weeks, up will come these unbelievable things. These bright green shoots will come out of the ground, and you'll be sitting there. If you've never seen it before, you'll be thinking, hello, that was dead a minute ago, and now it's growing, you see. So it's the plants themselves are sort of live. There's life there.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. I mean, if we weren't so used to it, we'd probably think it was science fiction.
I know, I agree, because I know all those pot plants, you know, remember you gave them to me to take to my class.
Yeah.
So there I am, I had it in this, like, this excellent window. And the thing I started to notice was that the kids, and these are like, you know, 12, 13-year-olds who people will kind of say aren't into, you know, all that kind of stuff, that the first thing they were coming to in the morning was checking the plants, you know, and then when they were big enough, when we could put them in the garden, and that was so exciting, but they were so blown away by the fact that, I mean, this was a great window in this classroom I had. It was perfect. It was like a little greenhouse thing. The fact that overnight this stuff would grow. So you're right. It is like science fiction, and it's also a bit exciting because, you know, we grow so slowly. So, except for me where I grow sideways really quickly. But most of us, you know, and it is really a bit... So I guess you're right. The philosophy is it's the emotion that gardening evokes.
It's life. You know, we often say that animals are alive because they walk around, but plants are obviously alive, you know. And, I mean, that is a controlled situation in that you introduce your own soil and your own sunshine and your own water. But once you take it outside, things, well, they get more horrifying as well as more interesting, you know. You take that out and then there's wind. And there's rain and there's freezing cold, and those plants have to survive in that, you know. So there's the three main things that you have to be aware of in gardening and farming and growing grapes and everything else. That is the soil, the sun, and yourself. They're the three S's, you know.
The three S's, yeah.
And you'll hear everyone tell you that. It doesn't matter whether they're an architect or a wine grower or whatever. They, you know, it is, the taste of your food comes from those three things. So when you take that pea coming out of this pot and put it outside, you're in a new realm. You're in a realm where the soil, the sun, and yourself are the three determining factors of how your garden's going to be. And that's a struggle, and it's full of disappointment, to be honest, because, well, I'm not a horticulturalist.
But.
And I don't know everything, you know. I sort of do most things rule of thumb.
But then do you think part of it is when you kind of get those gardening successes, whether you find the animals that you've attracted to the garden or you've actually grown that beautiful flower or you're eating that fantastic vegetable or you're having a glass of wine under that tree. Well, you like that one? That's my favourite one, definitely. I'm just contemplating whether, you know, people talk about the mastery of nature, but I wonder if we kind of like it because it really brings us into nature. You're saying it's all that nature stuff, and then we feel like we're such a part of that system. When realistically, let's face it, our everyday lives aren't very connected to that earthiness.
Yeah, well, that's the very point, I think. I mean, you are going to fail. So I don't believe in conquering nature because I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, that a lot of people think of that. Yeah.
The whole of humans, all of them and all their weight, wouldn't even touch the weight of the planet Earth. And that planet Earth is whizzing through space at so many thousand kilometres a second. And it goes around the sun that makes the Earth look small. And so you're thinking to yourself, you're going to conquer that? I don't think so, you know.
Right.
I think you are lucky at times. If you keep persisting, like it's the old gambler's habit, you know, you've got to be in it to win it. It's a problem. But with the with gardening, you do have to plant the bloody things or they won't grow. Right?
But I reckon it's also too, like you're saying, if you go out there, I mean, Lord knows, I'm guilty of that, but you go out there and you think, right, I'm going to do this and I'm going to, it doesn't work. But if you kind of go out there and you sit with it, like you said, and you just decide to be part of it and grow and just kind of take it from not that point of view of I've got to make this thing, I think that's a lot more successful. I honestly, the gardeners that I know, such as yourself, who is certainly, I'm not allowed to call you a guru or an expert, I know, but in the eyes of us novices you are, and someone like my grandfather, really clever at working out how to work with what you've got, really.
Surprisingly, like those blokes who restore old cars, you know, they got a car sitting in the garage. At some stage in life, it's got to be finished and you've got to be able to drive it. And so all along that period of time, you're forced to add to it, you know. you have to get it and you have to add a tyre, you have to take off the upholstery and replace it. So there's always work. I mean, I go out in the morning and as I look at my garden, 12 jobs occur to me, you know.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not going to get them all done that day, so... Yeah, you are forced to plant the seed. There's no good thinking about planting the seed. You are forced at some stage to make your errors as necessary or to do as necessary in order to put it in the ground. You know?
Yeah.
You are forced to get progress in that sense. But I like the idea of sitting down having a wine and a comfortable chair too, because I think the other sense that you're talking about, which is just looking at the distant trees and the clouds rolling in, and feeling the breeze on your face, I think that's the pleasure, that's the leisure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I still see it as work after all these years. I think you do have to force yourself, as in self-discipline, to keep seeing progress. Like winter's just passed, my asparagus and my strawberries are in.
Yeah.
I did it, you know. I fought all the time until such time as I got them in.
See, my asparagus is in. Because you reminded me I had to plant my asparagus. And I know, I often think it is about that, just getting in there. And I mean, often you read those gardening books and things and people say, oh, you only need 20 minutes a day and all the rest of it. Well, I'm here to tell you, as you've just said, it doesn't quite work like that, because some days you've worked in there for 6 hours and you've still got 6 hours that day to do. And other days you can just walk around and deadhead roses and play around with stuff. So it is that discipline of, a bit like housework sometimes, just kind of getting out there. But I think there's a lot more reward to gardening than to housework, just quietly. It's a lot nicer. I have to be honest too, for me, who, my gardening success is very sporadic and very minimal, really, at the best of times. The best success I had was when my son was young and Samuel was a baby and I was home a lot more. I kind of put the baby in the playpen and you're out there for 2 or 3 hours. But part of it is just, I'll kind of go out there and you're digging around and you're just, you know, what I like to call even just faffing around. And literally whatever mood you're in, there's almost this kind of like magical element to being out there and just getting your hands in the soil and achieving something in the garden. Whatever's going on, you sort of think, oh, actually I physically feel and mentally feel a lot better.
Yeah, I think it does happen. I think you start out and you do find yourself sort of trapped in a job when you do go until the job's finished.
Yeah.
So that is your reward and that is your discipline. So as for being out in the weather, it's not that good. You're better off, I think, if you have a shelter somewhere and an armchair so you can quickly retreat. You know?
And then sit and contemplate the next thing that you're
to do. I mean, we often think that the gamers of today's computers are wasting their time, but in fact, they claim strategy and tactics. is always in their mind. And I sort of believe
it. Yeah, no, I agree, yeah.
Because when it comes to just walking around the garden, no, you're not. What you do is you think, will I plant it there and will the birds come and get it? Or should I plant it there and should I cover it with bird netting or should I cover it with plastic or what's the temperature you're going to do? So you are walking around doing nothing, but in fact that's the strategy and the logic of what you're trying to achieve. And it can get quite complex, of course. You might say, well, should I plant flowers of a particular colour in that patch and will it work in my overall garden scheme? As an amateur, you're not drawing it on paper. I did when I was starting out gardening, because the complexities of the design is quite immense, in fact almost infinite, because the things that count, like rotation of crops and how that affects the soil and depth of root and fine tooth of soil, all that comes into the same decision of what to put where and when, you see. So it is a complex thing that you're thinking about and you've got to resolve.
Yeah.
You can do it sitting down with a glass of wine.
I think that helps, you know, you just relax a little bit more. That, I think, is really important. A huge part of gardening is the observing nature, isn't it? I mean, that's where I think when I was initially starting out, I went wrong. Sort of thing. You can read all the books you like and you can borrow all the magazines and you can watch all the TV shows, but I wasn't really observing what was happening in my garden as well as I could have been. 12 fruit trees planted in the wrong spot, having to be moved by my son, who told me they were in the wrong spot 2 years later, was proof in the pudding sort of thing. But I persist, and I persist because you're right. It is like it's a bit of a pokey machine. Like every now and again, just when you've decided that you're never going to do it again and you don't care what anyone says, you get a gorgeous rose or something happens or you find the worms and suddenly you're off and running. So what we'll talk about next time, I guess, is how do you get to that stage and what do you need to do in the garden? We will come back next time and we'll have a very loose, let's say it's a loose time. A loose topic under which we will fit the umbrella of everything else. What do you think?
And bloody plant those seeds before it's too late.
Absolutely, for the wind to go. So this is Two Peas in a Pod, Trevor and Michelle signing off, and hope you enjoyed the show and you're out there planting.
See you next time.